family. It's a new year and Pastor Rod is here again to bring you amazing teachings from the theme, Enduring Love. Do listen and be a blessing by sharing to friends and family.
We ask, Lord, for your wisdom and counsel. Holy Spirit, you are always with us. It is you at work in us, both to will and to do of your good, good, good pleasure. Lord, teach us, lead us, guide us, help us. We can look to you because mercy comes from you, and only you are good. And we know that, Lord, in your presence, Lord, we'll find not only joy, but pleasures that will last forevermore. Tonight, Lord, let your word be meaningful and transformative to somebody here. Holy Spirit, open the heart unto you that we may know you and love you. Sanctify our minds and our hearts, Lord. Do the work of washing of water by your word. Wash our hearts by your word. Tonight, let your word prevail. Lord, anyone that is hiding behind walls of pretense and fear and uncertainty, Lord, I pray that your word will come and bring light and hope. In Jesus' name, and all shall say amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together for everybody that came to present. Amen. Clap, 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 clap. Amen. I think it was good. Very creative and good. And Love was saying, I think for those of us that you consider this your place of ministry, one of the things you have to know is that every strategy that we have, we believe is God's strategy. Every structure, plan, systems, they are all God's idea. And they have a goal. There's a reason for that. And so we would want you to pay attention and be part of everything that is here. We have a situation where some want to be loved, but they don't want to be closed. They want to be loved, but they don't want to be closed. It doesn't work like that. Tell them it doesn't work like that. Shake your head and say, it doesn't work like that. Uh-huh. If you want to be loved, you have to be ready to be close. You have to be ready to be vulnerable. Does it make sense? In other words, you have to make yourself available to be known. Somebody must know you if they're going to love you. You get it? And especially being loved in a healthy way. Because sometimes you can come for a youth ministry like that, come and then you get yourself stuck to a lady, you look for love, you get yourself stuck to a boy. And then you interpret their focus on you as a love from the ministry. I'm not telling somebody. And then you start moving. So if the person is coming, then you come. If the person doesn't show, you don't show. Uh-huh. And then when they start abusing in secret, now you can't say it. And then after it has happened, then you're going to class and say the ministry was not there when you're in trouble. Did we know or did we assign that person to you? Okay. Nobody sent you. And that's what a lot of you young people do. Because you don't want Bible says in the model of counsel, there's safety. There's a certain security that comes within a community of living. And in CY, we're teaching you how to have that community of living. You know, because the program is big. We all can't know you at the same time, love you at the same time. So we'll put you in a smaller group. There, be known and be loved. You get what I mean? But you have people, you put them there, then they remove themselves. In 3 hours, say, normal why. And then when the loneliness and some things come hitting you, say, nobody is there for me. I'm out on someone's house. Shake your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's wisdom. Let it enter right now. Let it enter right now. Let it shake your neighbor and say, let it tell him, stop your pride and all your thing that all that pride. My friend, be serious with your life and stop that pride. Tell the person, be serious with your life and stop that pride and all those things. Look, I'm on a page. My sons at home always say, hey, when I start telling them, hey, you and this page. And when they are telling you, you see people are writing about marital and they are writing the stories. You see women who have pride and all those things. They go there and some one guy, be rascal guy will humble you. Rascal guy, go and humble you. Life is bigger and it's more challenging and much more difficult. God designed us to live within a community. Stay within a community. Stay within what? Stay within a community. Art Alive is... This time, you guys have to work and make work on making it work. Be part of the what you have been putting. Work. It means when they put information on a page, say something. Oh, we're going to do... You are supposed to live together in a healthy community. Now, if you don't have this community, let me put it this way. If you're not paying attention to this community, chances are you have another one. Chances are you have another one. What I don't know is whether that community has good godly strengths that is stirring it. Some of us say, okay, my class community is fine. Really? Okay. Your class community, you have all manner of people with all manner of beliefs in that community. They can't uphold your Christian faith. Neither can your business community uphold your Christian faith. You need Christian brothers and Christian community. Does it make sense to you? Yeah. So do all you can, be there, because in CY, you just don't come for meeting. We put you in a family. And we'll put somebody there where you guys are all together growing and becoming. Does it make sense? Uh-huh. Because this program is just one of many other branches. And truth be told, nobody grows in the large crowd. We only grow in a smaller crowd. That's the practical thing. People that go to church, plenty, you go to church, big size, and say, hey, you are growing. It's a lie. You may be growing, maybe you might even be growing the way you're supposed to grow. You need a smaller community, somebody to ask you questions. Hey, but I thought you said, then you are growing. Does it make sense? Okay, shake your neighbor, say, neighbor. That's just introduction. Okay, so quickly, this month, I have just two recordings. Well, last week, Brother Jervis was here. So are we in the house? Uh-huh. So I have to be able to do this well, and I'm wondering I'm going to do so with two recordings, because somehow I don't preach short. Yeah, 1 hour. It looks like 1 hour, then I finish what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it's a standard time for me, so I'm going to have to do this. Now we're talking about purpose. Shake your nose, it's a purpose. Okay, purpose is a great topic. Purpose is a good topic. As a matter of fact, anybody, you see, when you start dealing with purpose, then it's a sign that you are alive. It's a sign that you're alive. Dead things don't worry about purpose. Dead people don't worry about purpose. As a matter of fact, one of the things that you confront when you come into Christ is your purpose. Christ gives you a sense of purpose, because everything in creation was created, and purpose was the underlying principle that put everything together. So once you even come into Christ, one of the things that God will confront you with is a sense of meaning for your life. That there is more to you than what you have known up until the time you met him. There's more to it. There's more to your blackness. There's more to your big lips. There's more to your Africanness. There's more to your there's more to your tribe and why you were born by a father with a name nobody can mention. There's more to it. Are you in the house? Are you part of those who have names that you have to explain to everybody that it is mentioned like that and not like that every time? Shake your neighbor and say, there's more to it than that. There's more. Shake your neighbor, amen. There's more to it than your experience. Some of us have lived how many? 8 years? Some of us have... It's 18 years. 18 years. And some of us may have gone through very bad experiences. Some of us have gone through very bad experiences. Some have gone through challenging experiences, things that we cannot explain, things that are difficult to get. And sometimes you want to say, all this, what does it mean? It is nothing. No, it means something. If there's anything you have to get about God, is that everything means something. Everything means something. Hallelujah. Are you in the house? One lady was complaining about one of the girls was complaining about the bad behavior of some men who have married women, and they are treating them bad. You know, she's feminist and all those things. And in all that she was saying, I was saying that I'm not defending another man. I'm not defending a guy. All I told her, I said, look, there is always an explanation to the behavior of any man. I said, yet it does not make it an excuse for his behavior. Separate the two. But there is an explanation. Because life is not just coincidence. It's not just big bang and everything is just hitting something. That's not life. Life is meaning. Things working together. Why are you here? Where will you go the next day? There's something we are trying to put together so that we can arrive at a certain place of meaning and value. So when you see somebody behaving in particular, don't think that is that nobody understands. There's no meaning to. No. I said, look, oftentimes you have not paid attention to ask very critical questions. And sometimes that's what happens. Amen. Now, once you get a concept of purpose, it changes a lot of things. It makes you ask a lot of whys, because you always want to arrive at purpose. Amen. Are you in the house? So look at the one that said, there's a meaning for everything. There's meaning for everything. There's meaning for everything. Meaning for everything in this life. Hey, are you in the house? Now, for us who are Christians, if you are here, you're not a Christian, this may not apply to you. But for us who are Christians, those who have given their life to Jesus, submitted to Jesus, and says, you be Lord over my life, and live every day in line with God's purpose, the one place we take our pattern of living and behavior from is Christ Jesus. Now, when we study the life of Jesus points to us that everything has meaning. Because even he, God, when he came on earth, his life had meaning. God didn't just move about and say, I'm God. I can do whatever I want to do, whenever I want to do. Is that the way he did? No. Bible says Jesus was both God and man. And as man, he lived within divine purpose. As man, Bible even tells us that there are certain places he didn't go because he said it's not according to plan. Yeah. He says it's not according to plan, so I'm not going to do it. So if God would even restrict himself or put himself within the confines of purpose and meaning and why, then my brother, my sister, I think you have to have, if there was a purpose or a why squared, you should have it. Am I making sense to somebody? Yeah. If God, who came, and Bible makes us understand, he came, he lived at a particular point in time, and then he died, and everything that he did between the time he arrived here and the time he lived, everything was by purpose. So, tonight, what I want to say is this. I want us to look at the life of Jesus, certain things about Jesus that points to what purpose could mean for us who are following Jesus. Does it make sense? What purpose could mean for those of us who are following Jesus? Amen. Are we good? Let's look at something in John 12, 27. Let's start with John 12, 27 to 28. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No. It was for this very what? Very reason. Another word for what? Purpose. So for this reason, it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. And as a matter of fact, if you're a student of the Bible, you know that there were thousands of years that this hour was spoken about and written. Hey, and Christ said, for this reason, for this purpose. Shake your neighbor, said, there's a reason and there's a purpose for your coming. I kind of say, there's a reason and a purpose for your coming. Trust me, if Jesus came by reason and purpose, you too are here by reason and purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. When somebody asks you, is there a purpose, there a reason? I said, there's something. No. It says, my Lord said, there's a reason and there's a purpose for his arrival. And therefore, there's a reason and a purpose for what? My arrival. Okay, John 17. Let's look at something in John 17. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your son, that your son may also what? Glorify you. Let's go. He said, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Verse 3. Now, this is eternal life, that they may what? Know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom... Now, let me stop you. Are you in the house? No, verse 3. Shall we read? What did I say? Now? People said, how do you know you have eternal life? This is it. This is eternal life. That they may experience, and here is experience, that there's an experience of God. This is the guarantee of eternal life. So it's like, I don't know, when I die, I'll live forever. This is it. That they may know God as the only true God and Jesus. Jesus what? Look at that. Jesus what? So can we confidently talk about anybody who doesn't know Jesus Christ as having eternal life? No. Scripture is very clear. This is eternal life. How do we know when we die? We have forever life. This is it. To know Jesus. Amen. I thought somebody, so how many of us know Jesus Christ? How many of us know Jesus Christ? This one, you can't see. Have you ever had a situation where you go to maybe a program where a popular person, you are going, trying to do your tuner, and then a person bypasses you and go to somebody? Have you ever had that experience? Now, what is happening is that you think the person know you. Now, so, hey, shake your head. I said, are you doing that right now? Are you thinking that Christ knows you? Okay, let's go to the next verse. He said, I brought you glory on earth by completing what? The work you gave me to do. Now, one of the second point, okay, Holy Spirit help me. Okay, are you in the house? Because I want to jump everything up. So, okay, so now, he said, I brought you glory on earth by completing what? Work. Even God worked. His purpose led him to work. His purpose led him to work. You can't say that you don't like work, but yet you are living your purpose. Hey, are you in the house? And here's also the point where I said, look, purpose is more eternal and more spiritual than money. Because Jesus came to work. Ask your neighbor, nuchumo bachum, alo bachum, obachum. Ask your neighbor, nuchumo bachum. As you understand it, just say, nuchumo bachum. From here, you can tell somebody that you understand God, you have been speaking God. Say, nuchumo bachum. Okay. Are you in the house? Okay, the next verse. What did I say? And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the time began, before the world began. The next verse. I've revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. He said, they were yours. You gave them what? To me. When were they given? In eternity past. Purpose shows that we've been known all this while. We've been what? All this while. That's what purpose means. If you are without purpose, it means that we didn't know you. Let me explain. You see, the children that their parents says, we just give birth to you. We didn't plan for you. Okay, let me use an example. For instance, there's this CY couple. They just gave birth. And then when I went to visit the child, when I was going to visit the child, and then the father said, he said, you know what? When we met in school, he said, and we started praying about our marriage and our future. He said, either he said that the Lord impressed on them, or they knew, they somehow felt like their first child will have to be a girl. And they started praying about her. And they married, pregnancy came, and guess what? It's a girl. What I mean to say is that this girl like everybody says, oh, you are new. Like we say, it's a new child and all those things. But the parents have known her before she came. Hallelujah. And once you are known, you see that your parents will start dreaming about you. She'll be this. She'll be a lawyer. This is how we are known in God in eternity past before we came. Hallelujah. Look, once you are here, you have been known before you came. Shake your neighbor and say, neighbor. You are known before you came. You are what? Yeah, before you came. You're known before you came. Hallelujah. If a student, if you start studying this topic purpose, obviously you can't go beyond, you can't study this purpose without meeting Dr. Miles Monroe. Purpose is also another authority is on. And one of the things he says, look, one of the great challenges of all men is a sense of identity. He says, we don't know who we are. And because we don't know who we are, we can't tell what we are becoming. And he said, that's why we keep wearing other men, other people. That's why I'm wearing designer this. I tell you, it's Gucci. Because you don't know who you are, you need Gucci to help you to become something. Because you don't know who you are, that's why certain designers are everything to you. That's why you spend huge amount of money to buy a designer and make sure that after you buy the shoot, the tag is here. So that everybody can tell that you are wearing this. Because you don't know who you are. You need somebody's help. Hey, who are you wearing? Shake your neighbor, ask your neighbor, who are you wearing? Tell me, I wish you were you. Hey. So today women change themselves. Today they are Chinese, tomorrow they are what? Tomorrow they want to be Kardashian. Tomorrow they want to be so you have beautiful African women with, you know, African women, God blesses you with some breasts. And then you go and copy a white person who hasn't got breasts. Oh, can I talk? And then you are copied because you don't know who you are. Now you start dressing like them. So the dress, you can't collect your breasts into that size. That overflow. There's always overflow. Breaking forth. There's a breaking forth here and there. Hey! You don't know you're an African blessed with some breasts. You don't know. And some back. Look, Africans are. God knew the genes he has put in Africans. He knows. So the minute you are saying you are born Sewa, chances are something is going to break for front or the back. Oh, shake your neighbor and say, neighbor. Oh, shake your neighbor and say, neighbor. You are blessed. Increasing on every side. But when you don't know who you are, you go by wearing dresses that is not your size. It's not your size because you don't know who you are. Hey, others are removed because it's not there. So they have to show. So they have some. I have some. That's why they wear a tie. But you don't have to show it. It's there. Hey, am I making some sense to somebody? Tell me about, talk about purpose. You are talking about purpose. Amen. Okay. So I want to conclude. let me put it this way. I'm going to state four things that your purpose points us to. Four things. And some of it I've already said, we're going to pick them out from the life of Jesus. Does it make sense? Okay. So one, you're in the house. Your purpose talks about the end. Because Jesus' purpose, his end was prophesied before he came. And we are copying, we are looking at Jesus. Every man's purpose has the end in mind. Now, what does it mean? For instance, what does it look like if you knew with all certainty where you are going to when you started on the journey? What does that do to you? It gives you what? Peace of mind. Takes away anxiety. As a matter of fact, it takes away fear. Because you know where you are going to arrive. Can you imagine you're going on a journey, you don't know where you arrive? It's a whole day call. Ube undiabi. I'm telling you, every dia you see on the road, you call dia we are now. No say cock sanko. Dia we no sanko. That dia benkwa. You don't even when they say dia cry, they even give me a fair idea of what you see. But I'm saying, look, purpose, every one of us, God has concluded our end. Now when you say our end, everybody say, Nabi, it's not bad. Hey, are you in the house? Let's look at Romans 8:29. For those God foreknew, he was also what? Predestined to what? To conform to the likeness of what? Of his son. That he might what? Firstborn among what? Among many brethren. God has already, the end is that will be like his son. Where is his son currently? On the throne. Where's his son? On the throne. And before time even began, when God was designing you, God designed you that you are like his son on the throne. That's what the Bible talks about. We reigning with his son. Hey, am I making some sense? Yeah. Your purpose talks about the end. The purpose is, look, anytime I talk about purpose, it's a done deal. The end is complete. There's no ambiguity about it. God is not uncertain about how your tomorrow looks like. Hey, am I making some sense to somebody? There is a certainty about God when you look at it. That is why sometimes you can come to God, cry, and say, oh, God, I've done this. And God is just looking at you. You did what? And this guy raped me and did it. Says, have you seen my son? Because my conclusion is the end of my sanity. So you may be going through the phases of life and here and there and was so ordained, may be leading you through pathways that sometimes the Lord may not have prescribed for you. But when God looks at you, he sees you like he sees his son, glorified and hallelujah. Yeah. And that's why you have to look. The reason why we must always embrace, or we must embrace this idea of purpose, is that certainty it brings that my end is concluded. Hallelujah. And trust me, this God sees, the likeness of son, is greater than engineer. Is greater than all those things as something. The greatest purpose God has for you. He said, look, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. So when somebody comes to you, accuse you and say, oh, you don't know the son. When somebody says, yeah, this thing, said, oh, you don't know the son. Oh, maybe you don't know. I am the son. I'm like his son. Hey, I am like what? I'm like his son. No, here's the thing. Like I said, when you know the end, you can deal with all detractors and liars on the path. You know, Kumasi is where I'm arriving at. Somebody can say, no, go and use car. No. You will see a mate that say, oh, car, we better call faster. You say, no. I know where I'm going. I know my end. My end is Christ. And then on this path, the devil will come and use all manner of things to tell you, oh, you this you have done, it's not possible. Recently, I was talking to one of my sons, and I was talking about how there's this girl that she's always thinking about suicide because there was a part in her life where she allowed one guy in, two guy in, three, and then a whole mess in her life. And she went through that phase. Now, you know, sometimes there comes a time where you wake up, like the prodigal son. Say, what have I done? I'm eating with pigs. And you realize that she came to that place where she realized I'm eating with pigs, and she stopped eating with pigs. But she cannot move away from the fact that there was a time in her life where she ate with pigs. So when she comes to her mind, the devil will say, you have to kill yourself. There's no future for you. Where do you think you're going with this? No. Tell the person where I am. Not that we know where I'm going. Where I am already. Hey, am I making some sense to somebody? Shake your neighbor and say, neighbor, I have a purpose. You have a purpose. Shake your neighbor and say, I have a purpose. You have a purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. Young people, get this in your hearts. I can never stop saying this enough. The devil on Jeremiah 1:5, we know. 1:5, let's go 1:5. Let's all read it. He said what? Before what? Mm-hmm. In the womb? Uh-huh. Before you even know your own abilities, I've determined your potential. I've determined it. Before you even knew you what you could even do, I've already finished it. Amen. There's something you're there, I can't do it. Yeah. Look at the end. It's not about what you're doing. Do you know some years ago, there were things I thought I couldn't do? Yeah. As a matter of fact, there were things I thought I would never do, I couldn't do. No, you can't put me in front of class. I remember the first time we had to do Bible discussion, and they mentioned my name. I wanted to melt. The class were about five. They said, Roderick, what do you think? I said, Jesus, the person has killed me. In my head, the person has killed me. I remember the first time, there was this family that I used to go to school with. I'll go and join them, and they pick me and go to school. Than some Martin the Porous. I went there. I think they finished their morning devotion. They were praying or something. And I went in. So when I was going ahead, they were doing morning devotion. I said, Jesus, wrong time. And they said, I should come. The minute I stood there, I said, oh, this time, Roderick will pray for us. I said, Jesus, Rod. No, to date, I don't know what I said. I think angels came to move my mouth. I couldn't believe that I'll be I couldn't even believe I could pray. How much more be a pastor? I don't make some sense. So Don't look at where you are. Look at what your end, the design of your end. Because when it comes to what you can do, you yourself are now discovering. As you look at the sun, as you look at the potential of the sun, you look at what God has made you in the sun. Ladies and gentlemen, am I making some sense, somebody? Yeah. And you need to get this. Some of you, I know right now, you won't get. Some people, they will never start waking up to this until someone has broken their heart. Tell the person, may the Lord deliver you from that experience. May the Lord shake everyone. You won't read the message of a purpose and say, oh, what is all this? When you break your head and say, oh, what is all life about? Now. Galatians 1, 5, 16. Still under the first point. What did I say? He said what? To whom be glory? Galatians 1, 15 to 16. He said what? But when God, who set me, I can't hear. Some version says, who set me apart from my mother's womb? God, he likes to do it. He does it before you are even put in the womb. He said, this is Paul saying, but when God, go back, 50, okay, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. He called me when I was, before the guy even became a murderer, he has been called. Hey, am I making some sense to somebody? Yeah, before he even came to a place where he became a murderer, before you came to a place before you started chasing women, you have been called already. Hey, am I making sense? Somebody look at a womanizer sitting next to the temple, you have been called. Look at a womanizer by you. Or a manizer. Before you chase after the first alcohol, I'm telling you. You were called. Hallelujah. Before you put the first smoke on your lips, you were called. You already called. Hallelujah. Before you allow the boy to touch your breast the first time, you already called. Amen. Say, who the Fonseca? Yeah, woman of God. If you say by this, say, you're a woman of God. Stop allowing some of these things to be touching the anointed jewels of the Lord. Hey, the God is good, though. God, he has to call us before we come and do this.
Hey there. Thank you for listening. I know you enjoyed this. You really did. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram at ConnectCYI and Pastor Roderick at Roderick Ajikum. Do stay blessed.